Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the radio program, Today's Issues. Today's Issues, the name of the show on the American Family Radio Network. And Ed Battagliano with me this morning. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Abraham Hamilton III, a.k.a. Abe. Good morning, Abe.
Good morning, Tim. Ed.
Good morning.
Well, I guess you're Edward.
Fred.
A.k.a. Ed, if I want to be fair.
Well, you don't have to be fair. You know what? I'm the old school kind of guy. You don't have to coddle me. You don't need a safe space? No, I don't need a safe space. Well, I would plead with you. You're the boss. I can't tell you. Don't call me Edwin.
Don't call you Edwin. Yes. That never was your name, though.
It never was, but my sisters would use that if they wanted to really set me off.
Okay.
Yeah.
Why does that set you off?
I don't know. And my apologies to all the Edwins out in our listening audience. I'm not saying it's a bad name.
Well, when you're young, it doesn't take much for your sisters to set you off.
That is true.
Just pronouncing your name on purpose gets you wound up there.
You know what I would do to them, though? Just a little bit of back and forth there. You know, of course, everyone knows by now I'm a hockey fan. Do you know what a hip check is?
Yeah.
A hip check, you'd check them into the boards in hockey.
Yeah.
I would, if my sisters were messing with me, we pass each other in the hallway, I'd hip check them into the wall. I would. Ma! Eddie hip checked me into the wall.
Your dad was going, how did I just fix that?
No, I don't know how I didn't put them in through the drywall, but so. Yeah.
Edward, do you know how this wall keeps being?
I don't know, Dad.
The bathroom door keeps. Anyway. All right, Frederick.
Good morning, Tim. Good morning,
AKA
Abe.
Fred.
Good morning, Edwin the Hipster Checker.
Fred Jackson from American Family News and OneNewsNow.com. And let me one more person to introduce Walker Wildman. Good morning, Walker.
Good morning.
Walker, what's going to be happening on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, you can watch the show there, so you can do Facebook Live on the Today's Issues Facebook page, and all the stories that Fred and our team covers here will be posted there, most of the stories from OneNewsNow.com.
Okay, and your excitement level about doing that is, what would you say on a scale from 1? That was about a 3.
I'm on a scale
from 1 to 10. You didn't sound very excited about your job.
Well, I'm at an 11 out of... On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm at about 11 right now.
Okay.
So.
Really?
He's been drinking a lot of coffee.
I ask my wife sometimes, how much do you love me on a scale of 1 to 10? And she'll just say, I'm at about a 3 right now. So.
Oh, man.
Right.
She's always joking.
You better get
out
there and mow that grass. Get your numbers up. All right. A lot to talk about today. Midweek. This is Wednesday. What is this? February the what, Fred?
February 15th.
Oh, yeah. Day after.
Day after the day you're supposed to remember.
Yeah, Valentine's. That's right. Okay, so we're going to have a great show today. We've got Todd Starnes coming on in just a little bit. He's going to be talking about his book. It's got a funny name. Something about the deplorables. Let's see here.
Oh, the Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again?
Yeah, the Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Our good friend Todd Starnes, that's his new book. We encourage you to buy it. It's out now. And then there's a lady that's going to be on that I met when I was at the Congressional Prayer Breakfast about 2 weeks ago. It was kind of a happenstance meeting, or a God-ordained meeting. And she has quite a story to tell. Veronica Carriman from North Carolina. She's going to be on with us just a little bit to talk about a book she's put together from Christians from all over the world. And their letters that they've written to President Trump. She's going to tell us about that. But let's get started. Fred, what's leading the news today?
I guess we'd call it the Flynn Fallout.
I like that.
The Flynn Fallout.
Yeah.
Basically what's happening now, and we shouldn't be surprised by this, the Democrats, now that General Flynn stepped down late on Monday night, I think most people are familiar with what happened there. The White House said General Flynn misled Vice President Pence with regards to conversations that Flynn had with the Russian foreign minister where sanctions were brought up. First, General Flynn denied that happened, and then he said, oops, it actually did. And so all that led to the resignation of General Flynn late on Monday night. We talked a little bit about that yesterday. Well, the Democrats, and again, we shouldn't be surprised, have come out and said, well, it goes well beyond General Flynn. We do believe there's something going on in the relationship between Donald Trump and many others in the administration with those Russians. And, of course, part of the story yesterday was this Russian spy ship off the coast of Delaware. Yesterday was 70 miles off. Apparently this morning it's about 13 miles off. You're allowed 12 miles is the limit. And so they're putting all of this together, saying that, and this goes back even, you know, during the election campaign, post-election day, that there's something going on, friendly relationship with the Russians, and we're being, national security is being compromised here in the United States, et cetera, et cetera. So Donald Trump takes to Twitter this morning.
The President of the United States.
Wow. President of the United States. He tweets.
POTUS.
Crimea was taken by Russia during the Obama administration. Was Obama too soft on Russia? Question mark. Trump denounced this Russian connection as nonsense, as merely an attempt to cover up the many mistakes made in Hillary Clinton's losing campaign. And on he went. So if anybody thought that this was going to calm Donald Trump down, President Trump down, that he would change how he responds to all of this, think again. He's storming forward. Now, here's an interesting little thing, a little bit of funny note in all of this morning. Yesterday, one of those calling a news conference looking for a greater investigation into all of this was Nancy Pelosi. And she spoke about, you know, that Flynn was just being used as a scapegoat. And she was really referring to a comment that was made by fellow Democrat Congressman Elijah Cummings, who said he had read a tweet from General Flynn that said, I feel it is unfair that I've been made the sole scapegoat for what happened. There's only one problem.
Mm-hmm.
The scapegoat tweet was fake news. But let's hear what Nancy had to say. Boy, she was storming yesterday on the whole idea of a scapegoat.
I didn't know until I heard from our colleague that the tweet of General Flynn today was scapegoat. You know what a scapegoat is? That means in a community where people want to absolve themselves of guilt, they get a goat and they heap all of the ills onto the goat, and then they run the goat out of town.
Just one problem.
She was saying that in response to this fake tweet, although she didn't know it was fake.
She didn't know it was fake at the time.
Yeah.
Well, a little bit later, her spokesman, Drew Hamill, acknowledged that Pelosi inadvertently cited tweets from a fake account, and then Congressman Cummings issued his correction on Twitter, said, yes, sorry, to correct the record, just learned, like many others, that the Flynn tweet this morning was fake.
You know, I got to say this. Any of you guys remember, you're probably too young, Abe, because it's a movie from the 60s, okay? What'd you say?
Discrimination.
We're just making you a scapegoat.
You used an age discriminatory, but anyway, go
That's
ahead.
That's the age we live in. Everything is discrimination.
The movie.
We have a rally this afternoon, Abe.
Thank you.
After lunch, my office, okay?
Rally.
I've got the signs.
Why in your office?
We'll mark in front of
discrimination.
Well, I'm trying to help you. We can march in front of Ed's office. It's two doors down, and end ageism.
I like
by Battagliano.
Please, if you guys could wait until after I'm done with lunch, I would appreciate.
Okay, what time do you get back from lunch?
He's not coming back today.
Yeah. Okay. Please wait till after I'm done with lunch. And oh, by the way, I'm taking the afternoon off.
Well, I've got.
I did have a point.
Just real quick, just to finish up on our rally this afternoon. I've got posters at Abe, and it says I'm outraged by, and then there's a fill in the blank.
Yes.
Right.
Okay.
Our spontaneous demonstration.
Yeah, against the man.
That's right.
So we can fill in what we're. Come up with as best to be outraged about, and then we march in front of Ed's office.
I like
so anyway, what time you get back from lunch?
I plan on being back by 12:30.
We want you to see this.
Oh, hey.
Because we want you to.
Boy, I
want
to see it.
We want you to know the numbers are out there. Abe and me, that's two.
That's right.
If we get the camera real close to
details
you
guys, at 6.
Yeah, yeah. Get the camera real close, it looks like a huge crowd.
Anyway, you did have
yes,
a point.
I did
remember
have
what
a
it
point.
Was?
Good thing I have a good memory. Either you, Tim, or Fred, did you ever see the movie The Russians Are Coming? The Russians Are Coming back in the 60s?
I saw Red Dawn.
No, this was a comedy. This was a comedy. Okay. Alan Arkin was in it, and it's about some New England town, and of course it's making fun of the paranoia about the communists, which I thought was ridiculous. There was something to be paranoid about, but a Russian sub actually gets stranded. It's trying to spy, and it runs aground, and it's all about the the interaction between the townspeople and they're terrified. But it does highlight an important truth, and that is that every administration, every political party, every political movement has to have a scapegoat. So I'm back to Nancy Pelosi, and for the Democrats, it appears to be Russia.
Mm-hmm.
However, the Obama administration, according to then Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, wanted to reset. They saw the importance of trying to develop a relationship with Russia that was not so adversarial. I was critical of the Bush administration for putting missiles in Poland right under the nose and really thumbing I'm going to mix metaphors here, sticking a thumb in the eye, let's put it that way, of Putin and the Russians. I think there's nothing wrong with Donald Trump trying to develop a less adversarial relationship with Russia. I think it's important to try to bring Russia into a friendlier relationship to pry them away from China. Right now, Russia and China and Iran are kind of a nexus of opposition to the United States. Mm-hmm. I think prying Russia out of that, away from China, is a smart move. I don't think you necessarily have to trust Vladimir Putin. I think he's a very cagey person, but I think it's a smart move. And I applaud the Trump administration for trying that. I think the Democrats are hypocritical because the last administration tried at least at the outset to reset that relationship.
You're right. And I think your point is extremely well taken considering what many can construe as aggressive action taken by China in the South China Sea.
Yes.
Building these man-made islands and then saying, oh, this is sovereign Chinese territory.
Right.
In the middle of international waters and then saying, no, this is sovereign Chinese territory.
Mm-hmm.
I think your observation is accurate.
Well, the bigger issue here is, if you follow this story, folks, is not General Flynn talking to the representative from Russia. How this happened is, if you're wondering, folks, if you kind of lost in the weeds on this one, you don't really understand what happened. General Michael Flynn, a general in the Army, he was selected by President Trump to be his national security advisor. Is that a cabinet position?
Yes, national security advisor.
And it's subject to confirmation by
But he was confirmed, and he has a long, distinguished career in the United States Army. So the reason a lot of people on the left don't like him is he understands radical Islam.
Mm-hmm.
I'm talking about, and he understands why they do what they do. Now, he evidently talked to a representative from the Russian
Foreign Minister.
Foreign Minister.
Russian Foreign Minister. Mm-hmm. And did you say January?
It occurred in December.
In December. Yeah, in December.
Between Election Day and Inauguration Day.
All right.
And I need to correct myself. It's not a cabinet level. It's not confirmed. It's appointed directly by the president.
I didn't think. So it's not a cabinet.
He was not confirmed?
No, you're appointed directly by the president.
Okay.
Not subject to confirmation.
Not a national security advisor. Not a cabinet level position. But it's extremely important, as we know, in this day and age. Well, somebody taped. No, all these conversations by law have to be taped by the FBI between our country and another country. And even though Flynn was not a representative in official capacity yet.
For the U.S. government.
Yeah, with the U.S. government. But what he So evidently, somebody leaked inside. The reporters got hold of this transcript from this conversation and leaked it to the media.
Well, do we know if they got a hold of the transcript, or did someone inside the Trump administration tell them what was in the calls? Do we know?
We know that they received the information. I don't think it's been reported that there was a transcript released. But it was they certainly, a number of reporters were given the information.
Right. So someone said Michael Flynn was on a phone call. This is what they said.
Yeah. Somebody from inside our intelligence community, who had access to this. This is what it appears happened. Now, if General Flynn told Mike Pence, the vice president, I did not talk to the Russian representative about the sanctions that the U.S. government, that President Obama put on Russia in his last days, and then it turns out that he did, then he misled the vice president. The vice president went out and on publicly and and vouched for him, and now it turns out, I guess this is why he resigned.
Yes,
this is why he resigned. So, you know, the old saying, the cover-up is worse than the crime, so to speak. Maybe General Flynn should have told the vice president, yeah, I did talk to him about that, or whatever. I don't know exactly, but I do. But the Democrats are making this sound like, ooh, this is part of the overall evil plot of the Russians to take over America. And so this is...
Because their narrative was that the Russians
interfered
helped
with the election.
Yes, that's right.
And basically, they de facto got Donald Trump elected president of the United States. The Russians didn't. It would make a great... It would make a great movie.
And that's the premise that they're holding on to. It assumes that... But for the Russians, we would be saying President Hillary Clinton.
The Russians didn't make anybody go in the voting booth and check off Clinton or Trump during the election. So, you know, did they hack into the Democrat National Committee headquarters? Assange? What's his name?
Julian Assange. Well,
he says no.
Yeah, he said it wasn't the Russians.
Anyway, we get lost in all this stuff. But what I'm getting at is here, who's going to investigate who's leaking this information inside the government?
Yes.
This is kind of, what if this happened? This wouldn't matter if it happened with a Democrat or Republican. This is dangerous stuff, Abe.
Well, and it's important to note, one, that Michael Flynn is a Democrat. He is a Democrat.
Okay.
Worked under President Obama. And two, the point that you make is huge. That it appears that those who are within the government, they are so hostile to President Trump that they could very well be willing to expose national secrets in an effort to torpedo his presidency.
I don't think there's any question about it. Over the last 3 or 4 days, if you read the accounts in the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, a number of times, this information comes from an unnamed source inside the FBI, National Defense, whatever the case may be. At least 9 times, people were quoted inside those bodies as giving this information to these various news agencies. So what we are from that are led to believe, there are still a lot of Barack Obama loyalists inside these various departments who are willing to do almost anything to discredit the Trump administration. They're trying desperately to do that. They believe that this was a first of a coup that they're attempting.
Walker?
Yeah, I just wanted to say, I was reading an article, I believe, on Bloomberg last night, and it was titled The Political Assassination of Michael Flynn. And what the author noted was that it's a felony for a government employee or anyone to leak this classified material, these classified recordings of U.S. officials, U.S. citizens talking to foreign officials, foreign leaders. It's a felony for that stuff to be released because that's classified information.
So somebody broke the law here.
Whoever released this classified information, whether you released the transcript or you just released details of the conversation, it's a felony. And I think that's what the Trump administration is concerned about.
Well, who you're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. I'm Tim Wildman with Ed Battagliano, Abe Hamilton, Fred Jackson, and Walker Wildman. Abe, let me ask you this. Then who, what, shouldn't the FBI Director James Comey be, shouldn't he initiate, and maybe, and isn't it up to him to initiate an investigation and find out who leaked this?
Yes. Just to cut right to the chase, yes, it is. And whether or not that's being done, I don't know.
Because this is an Eric Snowden type thing, isn't it?
This is pretty serious, because I read a story yesterday that the recordings that supposedly included a batch of recordings from General Flynn also contained conversations from potentially President Trump and other national leaders. Now, whether or not the contents of those conversations hadn't been leaked necessarily, but it causes the White House for sure to be brought to attention on this issue, which is why I think President Trump tweeted out and posted on Facebook, the real story here is these leaks. Why are there so many leaks getting out?
Well, here's why I mentioned, this is why it's important to know whether or not the transcripts, and Walker's right, it is illegal either way, but here's why it's important whether the transcripts themselves have been leaked or whether the leaker simply went to a New York Times or Washington Post writer, is because it's going to be harder to find out who did it. If a person inside the intelligence apparatus sent an email with a recording attached or with a transcript attached, you can trace that.
Right.
Very small group of people.
Yes. But if that person inside the NSA, for example, had lunch with a New York Times reporter and said, hey, listen, I have heard these recordings. You need to check this out. Michael Flynn had this conversation. Here's what they said. It's almost impossible to trace that. You'd have to get the New York Times reporter to divulge his or her source, and that's not going to happen. It's going to be very difficult for the Trump administration or the FBI to catch whoever's done it if they did it in that way.
And I think that's why at the Daily Press conference yesterday with Sean Spicer, you had reporters consistently asking whether or not a transcript of the conversation would be released so that the public can determine whether or not or to what degree General Flynn lied or whatever.
And that's what leakers do.
And that's what
they turn the bloodhounds of the media onto what they think is a story.
That's right.
And now they begin to beat the drum. We want the transcript, or else you're covering it up, Trump administration.
Another interesting note is January 26th, I believe, or 28th, Sally Yates, which was the acting attorney general for the Department of Justice, she found out about this from her department because she was concerned that someone, whether it be the Russians or someone else, would blackmail the president or General Flynn or the vice president over this. The vice president saying, no, they didn't discuss sanctions, and Flynn really did discuss sanctions on the phone. So she went to the White House and confirmed and informed the president that this information was out there. And interestingly enough, she was the one that was let go or fired by the Trump administration for not defending his travel ban. I'm not saying that this is the case, and I haven't read anything about this, but you could see some political revenge there. Of then Acting Attorney General Sally Yates having this information, she's fired, then the information's released to the public.
You know, I've been taking notes for the last 20 minutes, and I've got a great novel. I'm going to write this or get some, you know what I'm saying? This is just juicy stuff right here. Mm-hmm. Of course, the reality is it's serious national security breach that Democrats, conservatives, everybody should be worried about, regardless of what General Flynn did or didn't do. This is some dangerous stuff. We'll be back momentarily with Todd Starnes. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Jan Markell of Olive Tree Ministries.
You know, I have been concerned about the rise of secularism in America, and we have seen godlessness increase for 50 years at least, and maybe more.
We'll also get an up-close view on the latest in the news from newsmen Fred Jackson and Steve Jordahl.
Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
It is interesting that in our nation's capital, Washington, D.C., the first and last rays of sunlight fall every day upon its tallest building, the 555-foot Washington Monument. And there on its top, inscribed on the four-sided aluminum capstone, are the Latin words Laos Deo, which means praise be to God. This simple expression of praise reflects America's abiding belief that God has blessed our country with liberty and divine favor. Hello, everyone. Tim Wildman again. We're going to Washington, D.C., our nation's capital, for our spiritual heritage tours in June and September, and we'll see this Washington Monument. That's only one of the many monuments and places we'll see. Stephen McDowell of the Providence Foundation will lead the way as we talk about the places, the time, the events, and the people of our early American Christian heritage. For more information, visit the website spiritualheritagetours.com. That's spiritualheritagetours.com.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with this Fox News and commentary next.
Liberty University is in the business of training champions for Christ, the largest Christian university in the world, offering more than 500 programs of study, along with an online degree program designed for thousands of active duty and military veterans. Beyond the classroom, students meet together weekly for worship and to hear from some of the nation's leading experts in the arts, politics, and business. Liberty University, committed to academic excellence with a Christian worldview.
By all accounts, David Crean was a good person, a gentle and caring man. He was a former missionary who managed a famous Dave's barbecue joint near Indianapolis. The other night, David was driving home after work when he was hit from behind. The force of the impact flipped over his car. He was ejected. David, a father and grandfather, died at a nearby hospital. The woman charged with his death did not have a driver's license. Police say she was drunk, and they also believe she is an illegal alien. The IndyChannel.com says she was also in a car crash in 2015, accused of driving without a license, but she was not arrested. Now, liberals want to protect people like the woman who killed David Crean. They want to provide sanctuary to those who live among us illegally, those who want to do us harm. The cold, hard reality is David Crean would still be alive today if only somebody had bothered to secure our borders. I'm Todd Starnes.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the radio program Today's Issues. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page. All the stories that we discuss and talk about, Walker's going to be posting them there so you can read them for yourself, share with your friends and family. We also have the audio and video of this show live on Facebook. Before Todd Starnes joins us, by the way, Abe and Ed are here with me and Walker. Walker's getting Todd on the phone from New York. Fred, what's another big, you got another big story.
Big story coming out of Washington today is going to be the visit of Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel. He'll be meeting with President Trump a little bit later on. A lot of stories leading up to that. Are they going to talk about the promise that President Trump made to move the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem? They're going to be talking about the Jewish settlements on the West Bank. But also the story this morning is the Trump administration believes there is not a solution by way of a two-state solution, which was advocated by President Obama and other European nations. Apparently, according to these stories, the Trump administration really believes that that will not work, which leaves open the question, okay, where do we go from here?
President Prime Minister
Netanyahu
will be here tomorrow.
He's in Washington today. The meeting takes place today.
Yeah. Oh, it's taking place today at the White House?
Yes, sir. Yeah.
Okay. Maybe we can get back on friendly terms again with Israel. It's been a very...
I think it's going to be better.
Yeah. Been a very hostile relationship towards Israel for the last 8 years. President Obama did not care for... He did not care for Prime Minister Netanyahu. That's well documented. Or Israel, quite frankly. That's part of that's my opinion, but part of it's evidenced by the actions and inactions. Well, we look what he did in the UN, condemning Israel with the rest of the world. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues. Joining us now from New York is Todd Starnes. Todd is with Fox News Radio. He's author of the brand new book, The Deplorables: Guide to Making America Great Again. And Todd's joining us right now. Todd, good morning.
Tim, good morning. Great to be with you today.
Hey, when did you? How did you come up with this title?
Well, you know, we were coming out with a book after the election, regardless of who won. So we had two different book titles ready to go. It was that one, and then we had one in case Hillary had won, and it was called "We're Doomed, America: Your Guide to the Apocalypse."
Well, I'm certainly glad we have this title.
It may be deplorable, but by golly, it's a lot better than the other one.
Oh my word!
Now, yeah, that's tongue in cheek, right? That's.
Oh no, actually, that's true. That was my working title of the book.
Wow. You know, that's how do you get a publisher to agree to publish a book with a title that depressing?
There's all kind of money in doomsday stuff, man.
Yeah, exactly. Well, look, you know, if anybody can make the doomsday entertaining, it's your friendly neighborhood commentator here. So give me a box of potted meat and we'll go to town.
I would have, if you had done that, if the title would have been what now that you're what was it called if Hillary had won?
Yeah, We're Doomed, America.
Yeah, We're Doomed, America. And then I would have sold a book and combined it with a survival.
Survivalist gear.
Survivalist gear and sold it as sold it as a combo there. I'm wondering if the gun business,
it's going to fall off now.
Yeah, since President Trump won. Hillary Clinton called Donald Trump supporters, deplorables.
Basket full of deplorables.
Unredeemable, right? And then she listed
irredeemable.
She listed all the phobias. That's where you get the deplorables from. Todd's new book is The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. By the way, is it on sale now?
It is, Tim. You can get it wherever fine books are sold. You can also, just really wherever you get your books, so you'll be able to pick up a copy of The Deplorables. And, you know, Tim, you mentioned that comment that Hillary Clinton made. I believe that was the moment. That was the deciding factor for the presidential election. Those people who perhaps were independent or maybe conservative Democrats who really were still on the edge, when they heard Hillary Clinton utter those words, and it wasn't necessarily the word deplorable, I believe it was the word irredeemable, because she was saying that if you hold dear to traditional American values, if you believe in the sovereignty of our nation, your belief system is so egregious, it is beyond redemption. And I think a lot of people woke up that day.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. That was so insulting to millions and millions of people. I think it probably did motivate people maybe who were kind of indifferent or didn't know if they were going to go vote or not or couldn't decide. When they heard Hillary Clinton call them an irredeemable basket of deplorables for having conservative views, they said, you know what, I'm not going to take that. I'm going to go vote for Donald Trump to be president. You know, another thing, it reminded me of President Obama's comments, not quite as well-known, not quite as inflammatory, but he was asked by a San Francisco radio station about Republican voters, I think, and he said, well, you got a lot of people out there who cling to their Bibles and their guns. And remember that?
Mm-hmm. Ironically, that statement was directed at a specific group of people, the folks in coal country, in western Pennsylvania and in West Virginia. And he said that they were bitter Americans. And, of course, I took advantage of that as well a couple of books ago when I talked about being proud of being a gun-toting, Bible-clinging, chicken-eating son of a Baptist.
Son of a Baptist.
You're listening to Today's Issues. We've got Todd Starnes with us. So the book is a collection of stories, or what is it exactly?
It's more than that, Tim. We wanted to provide marching orders for folks.
Gotcha.
We wanted to give them a lay of the land. Here's what's happening in your country. And it's a call to action for Christian citizens to stand up and get involved in restoring traditional American values. And I write in the book that, you know, after Reagan brought morning to America, conservatives took a nap. And when we woke up, we had a community organizer in the White House. So I wanted to write a book to make, you know, to equip people with the information they needed to make sure that doesn't happen anymore.
Todd, this is Walker here. What's the reaction so far from some of your readers on the new book?
Walker, liberals hands down say the book is absolutely deplorable.
Imagine that.
Which I'm thankful for. You know, it's been really exciting. We have had massive sales. We actually hit the bestseller list on Amazon before the book even came out. So right now the reviews are really solid. Folks seem to appreciate the sense of humor that we're bringing to some of the bigger issues of the day, but also the very practical marching orders, the things that people can do in their own communities to help make America great again.
Hey, why do you think, Todd, that Hillary Clinton, for example, and those who think like her, the secular progressives, I guess they would call themselves, why do they have such a demeaning, hostile view toward people who have traditional values? Where does this – I mean, when you call somebody an irredeemable basket of deplorables, and then she named them off xenophobic, homophobic, Islamophobic, she named off all the phobias, why do you think that they have such a hostile view of
Tim,
go ahead.
I think it really is about power. Ultimately, it's about power and control. And they have a belief system that the government knows best. That, you know, going back to the book of Daniel, when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were faced with that moment, do you obey God or the government? And I think that in the minds of liberals, and especially the secular progressives, they believe they know best, and they have to eradicate God from the public marketplace in order to assume power. You know, we've seen that happen time and time again over, you know, throughout history. And we have to be very careful because we are still in a very precarious state. And I just point people in the direction of the massive protests that have happened since Inauguration Day. I would point people towards that Pew study from last year that said 40% of millennials want to crack down on free speech in America. You know, our values and our way of life are under a threat and under attack. And so we have to be on guard, we have to be alert, and we have to be willing to take a stand to defend our constitutional rights.
Yeah. What's your website, Todd? Where can people, you said the book's available now anywhere books are sold. Pretty broad.
Right.
Even in, what about in Russia? Are you in with the Russians too, Todd? You want to come clean today?
Have you had conversations?
Okay. All right. Anyway, what's your website?
It's toddstarnes.com. Tim, you need help.
If Todd Starnes says I need help, that's
well. Some say you're irredeemable. Tim.
Basket of deplorables. Okay. Thank you, Todd. Appreciate it. Take care, buddy.
Hey, and Tim,
yes.
I just want to say thank you to American Family Radio and American Family Association. You guys are standing there on the front lines, and you guys have made a significant impact in our great country.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Talk to
you later. That's Todd Starnes joining us from New York. Todd's his commentaries very popular here on American Family Radio, and we appreciate him joining us. His new book, again, is called The Deplorables Guide to Making America Great Again. Go get a copy.
You know, when you guys made that the observation concerning the comments that Hillary Clinton made about, you know, people supporting Trump, whatever, being an irredeemable basket of deplorables, in addition to people being offended, I think that moment crystallized for many Americans who might have been just, you know, in the fog or whatever, the absolute stark contrast in worldview, you know, where they really begin to realize, wait a minute, if we don't stand up and do something on November 8th, we literally face the specter of Hillary Clinton building on the legacy of President Obama, literally turning you know, I'm saying this metaphorically, training the guns, if you will, of the federal government against all people whose worldviews do not jive with hers. And I think in addition to being insulted, I think it caused a lot of American people to wake up and recognize, wait a minute, these people really consider me to be an enemy.
Yeah, and I think that's an important point to make. This isn't just talking about Hillary Clinton, a person who disagrees with me. She's hostile.
Yes.
And and because of the examples under the Obama administration of secular progressives weaponizing the federal government, the IRS and other institutions of great power, weaponizing them against conservatives, I think you tie those things together and people go, this isn't my daddy's Democratic Party anymore. That's right. This is a hostile movement that is taking aim, to use your metaphor, taking aim at me because of what I believe. That's frightening for a lot of people, and you're right. I think it crystallized. It was an aha moment for a lot of people.
You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on American Family Radio. I agree, Abe and Ed. And we talked about this after the election and before the election. We talked about if who won, what the ramifications would probably be. There's no doubt in my mind that had Hillary Clinton won, she would have amped up the attacks on Christians. And those of us with traditional values who cling to our Bibles and our guns and are irredeemable, because she and her administration, they would have already had the institution of the executive branch of government and all its force and all its money that President Obama was using already. She would have put that on steroids. There is no question about it. And I would have looked, and I'm not exaggerating, I would have looked for American Family Radio and other Christian radio networks, especially those who talked about issues, to have been singled out, targeted for harassment, for fines, for denial of licenses, those kinds of things, much like the IRS did when they targeted conservative groups under President Obama. You know, how come it is, we can get back to this later, how come it is so many of these people during the Obama years never had to answer for their crimes? Lois Lerner, she's good.
She's on paid vacation, courtesy of the taxpayers.
Yeah, she never was held to account.
Well, it's because she would have had to have been held to account by the by President Obama's Justice Department, and they were not going to prosecute one
Loretta
of their
Lynch.
Own.
Loretta Lynch was not held to account. She met with the president, you know, to President Clinton during an investigation, high profile of his wife, has 30-minute one-on-one conversation. That's fireable.
It absolutely is, and we can't forget anyway. If it had not been for one little rogue local reporter, nobody would ever know anything about that.
Yeah, there's so many examples of that during the President Obama years that people were never ever held to account, including the Benghazi story. So anyway, there's much more to talk about there. But on a more positive note, I was in Washington, D.C. with my wife, Allison. We attended the Congressional Prayer Breakfast about 2 weeks ago, or whenever it was, after the prayer breakfast. So we're getting ready to get a cab. But my wife, Allison, wanted to get a picture with the Congressional Prayer Breakfast sign in the background. So we asked a lady to help us with that. And she did, and then we returned the favor, got a picture of her, and then we began talking to Veronica Karaman. Veronica is from North Carolina, and she was showing me a book that she had put together of prayers for President Trump that had come in from around the world. And it was very impressive, and I asked her how she put this together, and we got to talking and so forth. And so that's how this interview came about, and Veronica joins us now from... I don't know if you're in North Carolina or South Carolina, Veronica.
Well, I'm in from Raleigh, North Carolina, but in the exact moment, I am in Myrtle Beach. So greetings from the Carolinas.
Great. Thank you for being on with us. So we met and you showed me this book and how this came about. Veronica's last name is Karaman, by the way. And tell us how this came about, this book that you put together.
Well, thank you, and thank you for having me on your show. It really all started when President Trump came down the escalator and announced, you know, his candidacy to be president. And at that moment, the Lord spoke to my heart loud and clear and said, pray for Trump. And I am not a political person, but I obeyed. And I ended up praying for him diligently for about 4 months. And during a rally in Norfolk, Virginia, the Lord showed me where to stand to kind of see him up front and personal. And he ended up walking right by me. And when he did, I really felt the presence of the Lord because I've been, you know, praying for him. And he got about 15 yards by me as he walked, you know, down the line to sign autographs and such, and took a U-turn and walked back and came over to me and introduced himself to me. It was really a profound moment, and I felt that he was responding to the energy of the Holy Spirit as I'd been praying. So I went home, and I said, you know, I'm not only just going to say my prayers, I'm going to write my prayers. So I ended up writing about a 120-page handwritten prayer book for him because I felt in my heart that God wanted him to have wisdom from above, and just as he attributed his earthly and business success to the partnership he had with his earthly father, I felt that God, his heavenly father, wanted to partner with him and have him, you know, walk together down this path. And actually, on my birthday, God opened up a door for me to give him that book directly and personally. And as I was driving home that night, I heard in my spirit prayers for the president. And I knew that I was to compile a book of prayers to be a tangible expression of people's love for him and the heart of God for him. And so I compiled this book of actually it's 130 prayers from people around the world. And it was so amazing because as these prayers started coming in through a webinar that Dr. Joseph Peck did for me, I began to see the great love of God for this man that God had put in people's hearts from around the world that had been praying for him from the very start, just like me. And so as an inaugural gift, I wanted to present this book to him. And then also people have been very much wanting a copy of it as well.
Talking to Veronica Karaman, K-A-R-A-M-A-N. Veronica, how can people read this?
Absolutely. Right now it's in the form of an ebook, and my ultimate vision is to have 10,000 people praying for the president the same prayer on the same day and ultimately with him. That's my vision. And we are wanting to have 1,000 people by the end of February. Because I'm a golf professional, but part of my trade, you know, so many people just like to hit the ball somewhere in the direction of forward, but we want to hit a target, and we want focused prayer in unison. So they can go to prayersforthepresident.org, and for a small donation, they can get a copy of the book, and we would love to have them join in, and they can also go to a private Facebook group called Prayers for the President. And I just had it up for a few weeks. We already have 500 people in it. And I post the prayer every day through video. And it's been beautiful because people want to belong to something, you know, bigger than themselves. And
did you say prayers with an S, prayersforthepresident.org?
Yes.
And your Facebook page is what?
Same thing, prayers to the president.
Okay. Mm-hmm. And this is, when you showed this to me, it wasn't in ebook form, although I've seen it in ebook form. You showed it to me in Washington when we first met. I guess that was a God meeting.
Yeah.
But I don't know how else you explain it. You're just sitting there by yourself in a room off the main hall, and Allison and I walk in, want to get a picture, and you happen to be over there. And we just got to talking, and you showed me this book. These are literally letters that have been written to President Trump from around the world from Christians, and they're very moving. I didn't get to read them all, by the way, obviously, but you have. And what do these people care about? Why do they care about an American president?
Well, first of all, anything that happens in America, you know, has a global effect. But secondly, as I sat at my dining room table, Tim, and saw these prayers come in and began to read them, you can't read these prayers and not cry, because it showed me that God loves President Trump, and he put it on the heart of people. I mean, from Africa, New Zealand, Australia, United Kingdom, Canada. I mean, God put it on people's hearts to pray for this man. And the assault against him has been so visceral, and our prayers are generally more hidden. And I wanted to do something that brought forth in a more tangible way the forces of good and blessing that are greater for him than the forces that are against him. And these prayers have been marinated from people who've been praying for him for quite some time. And my eyes were open to see how powerful prayer is. And I was just reading a scripture this morning that talks about when we pray, God upholds our cause. And I want people to be awakened to a new level of consciousness that we have more power than we think through prayer and staying engaged.
Amen. Well, Veronica, thanks for being on with us again. Veronica Karaman, K-A-R-A-M-A-N. Maybe we'll have you on again sometime to tell the story about your life and your relationship with your mom. And that's quite a story in itself. And so you are now Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. Doesn't that have more golf courses than any city in America per capita?
I believe so. I know there's well over 100 golf courses, but today it's pouring down rain, so no golf for me today. But I appreciate this time, and again, it's prayersforthepresident.org.
Okay, prayersforthepresident.org. Thank you, Veronica. God bless you. You being on with us. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye. That's Veronica Karaman. Yeah, we were just, you know, in the banquet hall, off the banquet hall, it was nobody around hardly, but she's just sitting over there. Veronica is.
Yeah.
At a table, and Allison and I want to get a picture. So we say, hey, ma'am, do you mind coming over here and taking a picture of us and with our phone? She said, sure, I'll do that. And then she said, well, hey, would you mind taking one of me? And I said, sure. And then she said, hey, I said, what are you doing? What do you got this book out for? And that's when I began to look through the book she was talking about.
Was this a published version or just a printed off?
It's an ebook form right now.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. But I tell you, the other thing is she wanted to get this to the president.
Right.
And I said, well, I think I can help you
with
that because I know some people. I know Vladimir Putin. there are some people I know who are tight with President Trump.
Yeah, do not
to help you. Get this in. There's a guy at the NSA who can leak this. No, I'm just kidding. Anyway, but I do know some people that work in the Trump administration who can help get this to the president. Whether he'll ever read it or not, I hope and pray that he will. I think he'd be blessed by it. But the main thing is to pray for our president.
Right.
And times now. I'm not saying he's going to do everything right. He's a human being. But I think his heart for our country is in the right place. And I think the enemies arrayed against him are numerous.
Right.
And many, and they're powerful. And so we're seeing now how this, you know, it's got a little bit of a shaky start. Mm-hmm. And part of this is because of what I've just mentioned. We'll be back after the news with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.